with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi, hanging out here on a Friday morning. Fun hour number one. Hour number two is going to be equally as fun. We have Matt Youmans joining us in about 15 minutes, VSiN host of VSiN Tonight, also a senior columnist here at VSiN. So Youmans will be helping us break down the NFL schedule. We'll also get to the NFC teams. We did AFC in hour number one. If you didn't catch that, make sure to check it out in podcast form. NFC teams will be coming up in hour number two. But to help us kick off said hour number two, we bring in Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker over at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Vinny joining us in his usual spot on a Friday morning. Vinny, we appreciate the time as always. NFL schedule release yesterday. Michael and I excited for it. I'm sure you guys are excited for it. The bettors are excited. When will you guys have week one games up over at the South Point?
Well, guys, good to be with you. Yeah, the marketing machine that is the NFL continues to provide terrific content, right, and get everybody ready. I mean, it just the Super Bowl wasn't so long ago. Now we're talking about the upcoming season in week one. So I know numbers are popping up out there. Chris Andrews, our director here at South Point, will be here in a little while. As soon as I get off the air, we'll compare numbers and we'll get these up. And again, no real surprise, right, guys? This is why week one of the regular season is the highest handled betting week of the regular season, because we've got 4 months. You know, you've got an entire summer now to book these games. So folks waiting in anticipation. What's interesting is you're going to see half of week one's schedule hovering right around that key NFL number of three. Mm. So when you start looking at it, and of course that's always something that we pay very close attention to, and especially sophisticated professional bettors as well. So we'll see. We'll take full advantage of the fact that the schedule's finally up, and also, guys, how it impacts other aspects of what we've already had up in terms of, let's say, futures, divisions, as well as Super Bowl futures, conferences. But probably the biggest impact, when you combine the schedule now, guys, and we knew the opponents, right? But now we've got the sequence. The biggest impact combined with the draft is the NFL regular season wins. And we've seen some movement already on folks that have reacted to the schedule, and particularly the teams in New York, the Giants. I've seen some. We used 8.5 for their total, and now the under is favored there. The Jets have had a move. We used 10 under, and folks did go under on the Jets, and now they sit at 9.5. Conversely, when you look at and I think the obviously Lamar Jackson signing really impacted this probably more than the schedule and the draft, although I think they had a great draft. The Ravens up from 9.5 to 10, and the Cardinals from 5 to now 4.5. Those are the biggest movers. All right, one more, the Rams, 7 down to 6.5. So, you know, we're watching, you know, all aspects, and then you put them together, and the draft combined with the sequence of the schedule, I think is very most impactful aspect when it comes to the regular season. Regular season wins will have the biggest impact right now as a result of last night's announcement.
Vinny, in some other shops, the 49ers were 11.5 on the over total. And after the schedule came out, they dropped down to 10.5. Interesting. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't think it had anything to do with Purdy. Where are you guys on the 49ers?
Used 11 under, Michael. So right now, haven't seen, we've not gotten off the 11. Could it go to 10.5? It could, may very well do so. I think when you look at the Niners, and you bring up the most important point about it, right? It's the quarterback situation there. But the fact is that when you look at the Niners, their defense and the rest of their offensive weapons, really, you look at last year, it was almost like plug and play, even though the quarterbacks had different styles and things. So, you know, it's difficult, especially without that most important position, or impactful position, I should say, to the number, the point spread, but also the regular season wins. But we've not seen a rush to the under on the Niners as we've seen with both New York teams. Both New York teams, the Giants and the Jets, had more under action than the Niners so far.
We're speaking with Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker over at the South Point Hotel and Casino, talking NFL schedule release here on the Lombardi Line. Vinny, so when you see the bettors kind of gravitate toward those unders, and for some teams maybe it's an over after they see the schedule, do you guys then also shift their odds in the futures market as well, or is that kind of independent of your guys' thought?
No, it's independent. You know, I mean, it sometimes it'll correlate for me, but I think, you know, the playoffs are a whole different set of circumstances, right? I think everybody, you know, that what folks will do is, you know, there's two ways of looking at the futures, right? Fans will back their team no matter what, right? They're going to bet their team as they come through the South Point during the summer, and they're going to bet their team to win the Super Bowl. Professionals will look at the schedule. Professionals will be more analytical, and they'll start looking at the futures, and they'll start with the divisions, and then they'll look at conference. Super Bowl pros, a lot of times, will wait for the postseason to arrive and look at the prices there and then see where they sit in terms of, where they play the games individually. But, again, what we saw yesterday combined with the draft, the most impactful look ahead is on the regular season wins.
Yeah. Vinny, the Giants are interesting. I mean, is this coming from their schedule because they have so many road games early in the year, or is this coming from we just don't buy into them? Daniel Jones, have they really improved the team? They're one of the worst run defenses in football. Mm-hmm. Is it a little bit of everything?
I think it's a great point, Mike. Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything. You know, Daniel Jones had a terrific season last year. I think folks are questioning whether or not he can duplicate it, right? And again, the schedule is certainly impactful in that regard. And again, do teams travel better today than years past? Yeah, but the travel is so much more demanding, right? And again, you've got a lot of games that can be condensed too. Not just in the Giants case, when you start looking at teams that have short weeks, where they go in terms of the, I think the Giants have three consecutive road games at one point, right? So even though the last one I know is in Washington, which is close regionally, but it's on the heels of two others where, you know, they're going from out here in the West and then down, it's to the Cowboys and then back East. So travel takes a lot out of teams, Michael. You know that better because it's the recovery aspect. So now, if the Giants can weather that in that situation, you know, the back end of it is when they get towards the back end of the schedule, having home, you know, more home games. I think if you, and Michael, and it's almost more of a question for me, I think teams would prefer, if there's going to be that kind of discrepancy, I think teams ultimately would probably prefer a more balanced schedule, you know, home and away during the course of the season. But if there's going to be a preponderance of away games, teams would probably prefer it in the early part of the season, right, than the back end of the season. I would think that, would you confirm it,
I think if you're a team like Buffalo, you would rather get, you know, make people come to your element. If you're Cleveland, come to our element, deal with the weather. You know, we got an outdoor stadium. You know, I would rather do that. The Giants, I think, frankly, I know, you know, I think they'll stay out at Arizona after they play. They'll go play San Francisco.
Yes.
You know, to me, it's a way to bond your team, too. I think we talk so much about training camp as being a bonding element, but I don't think it is. I think doing that road trip during the season where you get your team together and focus is more of a bonding element.
Hey, Vinny, I want to ask.
We've seen teams, right, come about that philosophy more, right? Mm-hmm. Staying, if there's regional games consecutively, then they will, in fact, stay in that area. And that that certainly has actually impacted the numbers on the games and the closeness of the games in recent years, for sure, Michael. Great point.
Vinny, we've got about a minute and a half left here. We'll transition over to the NBA and NHL playoffs. I know we're a national show. We're broadcast everywhere, but I want to ask you about these local teams because we have Vegas' favorite hockey team. Vegas Golden Knights. We have Vegas' favorite NBA team, the Los Angeles Lakers, both playing tonight. Lakers can close out the series against the Warriors, VGK, in a pivotal Game 5 against Edmonton. Which game is going to have the higher handle for you guys over at the South Point?
The Lakers, NBA, the NBA playoffs. There's no question about it. And the Lakers support has come in. They're up to 3 off of the 2.5. We actually opened them a little higher. And I think this will probably go through 3 because, you know, this is going to be the second game of the night. By the way, the Heat have moved more than the Lakers. They're up to 6.5. That's a 2-point move on the Heat tonight against the Knicks. But the Lakers, you know, this has always been a Laker town, Femi and Michael. And so, but in recent years, you know, in the last 5 years since the Warriors have really had their success, there's been a lot of Warrior support. But the Laker game, and the day will come down. For bettors, especially a lot of bettors, but for the books, the day will come down to the Lakers tonight. So, again, Lakers support coming in, and that game will probably go through 3. In terms of the other game, the Golden Knights, they're already an underdog, but probably lesser of an underdog here in Las Vegas, $1.30. And I think with the thing to pay attention to, obviously, right, with the series tied 2-2, is the impact of the suspensions, right? Nurse for the Oilers and Pietrangelo for the Knights. I think it's safe to say that the Pietrangelo injury impacts the Knights greater, or the suspension, than it does for the Oilers. But locals will be all over the Knights tonight, but I think you're going to see pretty good support for the Oilers outside of the black and gold.
That's thanks, awesome, Vinny. Tom. Awesome. Appreciate
you. Vinny Maiulo. Check him out over at the South Point Hotel and Casino Hall of Fame odds maker. Joins us each and every Friday. Vinny, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Take care, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. Matt Youmans joins us next year to break down the NFL schedule here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM, and it is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Oh, it's a great Friday morning, Michael. We have the NBA and NHL playoffs going on. NFL schedule was released yesterday, so we can dive into that even more. And to help us dive into said NFL schedule release, we bring in the host of VSiN Tonight. You can check it out Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight Eastern time, 6 to 9 Pacific time. The one and only Matt Youmans here to help us talk all things NFL schedule. Matt, you know, it's interesting because we've gotten Michael's take on what the teams look at when the schedule is initially released. But I'm curious, what do bettors look at when that schedule and all 272 come out and now with the handicapping gets underway?
Yeah, it was great to talk football for 3 hours last night, man. The 3 hours really flew by on that special show we did. But what I look at as a bettor is schedule situations like quirks, back-to-back road games, short weeks, you know, the Thursday, Monday games, maybe teams that have a lot of travel or tough travel spots, and just different situational spots might pop up on the schedule. You know, a team that might have 3 consecutive road games and situations like that.
Matt, how much do you, I don't know if you do Survivor, but how much of when the schedule comes out does your mind race to Survivor and how you could I think it's one of the hardest things to do in betting is to pick a winner for 20 weeks in a row. But when you saw the schedule, what was your first thought of Survivor?
Well, I hadn't thought of it until you mentioned it 10 seconds ago. So that tells you. I'm going to be in the Survivor contest this year. I mean, Derek Stevens is putting up too many millions. I mean, as Michael Lombardi said on the commercial, Derek, what's the guarantee?
You know, when he you said it too.
I really haven't thought about Survivor at all. I was looking at the week 1 numbers, I've actually got some games I really like in week one. I looked at the way the schedule's set up. I picked out one division winner at a pretty good price, an underdog price. And I was also analyzing some win totals last night and found some plays I liked there as well. So I really started with week one, division winners and win totals. You know, I'll look at the survivor stuff later.
Yeah, who are we kidding? Michael Lombardi was the star of that commercial there with Derek Stevens.
Get out of here. Yeah, right.
Michael, you've gone Hollywood, buddy. We've outed you. We're speaking with Matt Eumanns.
That's right.
He's a senior editor over here at VSiN.com. Eumanns, you talked about how you've made week one looks that you like. You have win total bets. You have division bets here. Let's get into your division bets. Like, who did you like? Who did you bet on when you saw the schedule? And now that we've seen the sequencing of how these games will go in the fall.
Femi, by the way, I'm pretty sure I heard that Michael Lombardi wrote the screenplay for the movie Draft Day.
No, I sure didn't. I sure didn't.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to start with the Titans. And I like them over 7.5, a plus 110 at the DraftKings price. And Dave Ross said on the show last night, he said, I'm sure everybody wants to see Will Levis start in week one. I said, no. That's the worst thing the Titans could do. I think Ryan Tannehill's got to be your week one starter. You go with a veteran to open the season, and you're going to New Orleans on the road. You're not going to start a rookie or even Malik Willis on the road. But don't forget, a lot of people do forget this, that Tennessee was the top seed in the AFC the previous year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, things went wrong last year. Titans finished 7-10, and they lost seven consecutive games to finish the season. I still think this is the best team in the division when healthy, with Tannehill the quarterback, and it's assumed that Derrick Henry's ready to roll. I like the Titans' run defense. I like the defense in general, and Mike Vrabel is the best coach in that division. I'm not even sure it's close. So I'm going to play Titans over 7.5, plus 110. I like the Titans plus 3.5 at the Saints in week one. And I also think the Jaguars are one of the most overrated teams in the league. Right now, everybody's assuming, or a lot of people are assuming, that Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence are just going to do it again. Jaguars win total at the Westgate Superbook is 10. At the at DraftKings, it's 9.5. Jaguars had to win 5 in a row to get to 9-8. They beat a Titans team that had to start Josh Dobbs, a quarterback, in Week 18. And again, you're taking a team that's always been an underdog. And it's a role reversal now that the Jaguars are in the favorites role. A lot of times when that team flips to the favorites role, it doesn't work out so well. I like the Titans to win the AFC South. I think the Jaguars are one of the more overrated teams in the NFL. So I'm going to go Titans over 7.5, plus 110. And let's play the better number at the Westgate. Jaguars under 10 at plus 110.
Love it.
You know, I think you make a great point. Vrabel's lost two consecutive home openers. I mean, he's lost against the Arizona Cardinals 2 years ago, and he lost against the New York Giants. And so I got a sense that this is going to be a little different team for him, right? I mean, he was so concerned about staying healthy with this team. This team's a little younger. They're going to try to be a little bit more physical. They're changing what they do offensively. I think you're right. I think people are catching them or sleeping on them a little bit because Tannehill is functional. There's no denying that. You know, they lost those games down the stretch. If Tannehill plays, they're going to win. They're going to win some hell. They're going to beat Jacksonville. I mean, they almost beat Jacksonville with Joshua Dobbs.
Yep. Yeah, and the quarterback situation was pretty much comical in the second half of the season for the Titans. And, you know, they finished 7-10, like I said, but it was a seven-game losing streak to finish the year. In the previous year, that team was top-seeded in the AFC. Michael, I would assume that you're somewhat on the same page with the Jaguars. They're not as strong in the offensive and defensive lines as a lot of people seem to think. And I'm just not sure Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence are quite there yet. They took advantage of some schedule spots to win 5 in a row to get to 9-8. I don't think this team's as great as a lot of people are hyping up the London Jaguars to be.
Well, I mean, look, they beat a Jet team down the stretch with no quarterback. They beat Houston team with no quarterback. They barely beat Tennessee. Mm-hmm. They got well behind the Chargers, you know, and that Cowboy game went to overtime, and they lost that game, which they should have. Cowboys had the lead in that game. I agree. I think these teams that we think are going from good to great, there's just not that automatic way they go from good to great. And the offensive line has to, especially with the suspension of Robinson. They lost Taylor to the Chiefs. There's a lot of work to be done there. And sometimes it's hard for the coach to get the team's attention when everybody tells them how good they are.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm in lockstep with you guys. I was on a radio show a couple weeks ago, and I said one of my favorite win totals. At that time, it was Jags 10.5, so looks like I'm not alone here. It's 9.5 with Jacksonville right now. Let's talk some more Week 1 games. What else did you like when you looked at that Week 1 slate for some potential bets?
Well, let's continue the Jaguars theme here. I actually like the Colts. Plus, I do. I like the Colts plus 3.5 as home dogs against Jacksonville in Week 1, and that's assuming it's going to be Gardner Minshew at quarterback. Yeah, he's no Hall of Famer, but I don't want Anthony Richardson starting in Week 1 if I'm taking the Colts and the points at home. Again, I just don't think the Jaguars are at the spot where they should be 3.5-point road favorites in a game like this. If you remember at the end of last year, Jalen Hurts had to pull a rabbit out of the hat for the Eagles to win at Indianapolis late in the season. I think the Colts plus 3.5 should be live as home dogs. I also like the Steelers plus 3 as home dogs against the 49ers. And again, the quarterback situation for the Niners is up in the air. Brock Purdy, Trey Lance, Sam Darnold, who's going to be, if it's Brock Purdy, he's going to miss pretty much all of the offseason work. Is he going to be ready to roll? I actually like the Steelers defense quite a bit. I think that, and I would say Kenny Pickett's second year, he started to show some improvement in the last, say, 7 or 8 games of 2022. And I actually like the Steelers here as home dogs. We're going Colts plus 3.5, Steelers plus 3, Titans plus 3.5. And here's a play that might not be popular, but I like it. I'm taking Patriots plus 4.5 against the Eagles. But I'm not gonna bet it yet because it might go to 5, 5.5. Who knows? There's so much Philadelphia hype out there. Yeah, I think the Eagles are going to be legit too. But I also think a lot of people are sleeping on the Patriots. And that's fine with me because I'm playing the Patriots win total over 7.5 at minus 120. I really think Bill O'Brien's going to make a big difference. I'm not sure what Bill Belichick was thinking last year when he put Matt Patricia and Joe Judge in charge of the offense and Mac Jones took a big step back. But I like the Juju Smith-Schuster edition. I think the Patriots had a pretty solid draft. And Bill O'Brien's going to make a big difference in Mac Jones, and you're going to see a professional offense, not the circus atmosphere that was out there last year on the offensive side of the field for the Patriots. I like him in Week 1 plus 4.5 as home dogs, and I like him over at the win total of 7.5.
I love it. I love it. I think people are sleeping on the Patriots. They had 3 games they could have won. They would have been a playoff team. I think people just, you know, they just run their minds in a direction. I agree with you.
How fun was that? Giving out NFL bets. I mean, yeah, I absolutely love it. That's Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight. Check him out here later tonight, 9 to midnight Eastern Time, 6 to 9 West Coast. Youmans, be well, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you.
Hey, is he going to stick around?
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The next 30 days is something I like to call bettor's paradise, and for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Some of those plays might be NFL plays now that the schedule has come out, and if you were listening to Matt Youmans in the last segment, you would hear all the NFL plays. We also have a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. That's Michael Lombardi out in New Jersey. I'm Femi Abebefe hanging out in Las Vegas. Michael, I mean, last segment, that took me back to the fall, man. That was, I had so much fun just listening to Youmans, listing off his bets for the NFL season. He had division, Week 1. I mean,
he's convicted. I love Matty. Matty's got opinions. You know, he's going to go with it. He's got a formula that he follows, you know, and it's outside the realm of perception. You know, it's like we fall into this trap of listening to the noise. You know, the Jets are going to be great. The Giants are going to be great. You know, you got to take a look, and every season is a new season. I mean, like, for example, his Colt play. Like, I don't think people realize that the Colts, I know they were bad last year, and they were poorly coached, and, you know, I mean, all those things. But there was a lot of games. They beat Jacksonville at home. I mean, they had a chance. They beat Kansas City at home. You know, when the second half of the season, they beat the Raiders out there in a game that was the only game Jeff Saturday won. But to me, they were in some games that they were just short, right? They couldn't get a quarterbacking play. But that didn't mean they're just horrible. Like, they're not an expansion team. Like, we think these teams are expansion teams that are just going to continue to be bad. I don't see that with the Colts. If they get better coaching in their offensive line, they can make a difference. Same thing with the Patriots. I mean, people talk, like Matt said, you know, I mean, Billy O'Brien's going to make a difference. Clem, the offensive line coach, has got to make a difference. They were poorly coached in the offensive line. They need Trent Brown to be a really good player, you know, and they've drafted a bunch of young linemen. If they get that line better, that'll make Mac Jones better in spite of, well, you got to draft a receiver to make. No, you got to block for Mac Jones to make him better.
No, I completely agree. And I think one point that we didn't get into it with humans, but I feel like he kind of subscribes to this theory as well. Division underdogs early in the season, and we talked about it a little bit on the podcast, on the GM Shuffle podcast, which should be dropping in your feed at some point, pretty soon here, wherever you get your podcast. Division dogs early in the season, these teams are prideful. Like, these guys are professional football players. That just because you think that they're bad, they don't think they're bad early in the season. They're going to go out there and play hard. I think there's some value backing those division dogs early on, especially in week number one. Like, I mean, think back to last season, the Falcons and the Saints. Everybody was betting New Orleans. They opened 3.5. They closed 5.5. And the Falcons almost won that game. They lost by one.
Yeah, should have.
Houston against Indianapolis, that game that ended in a tie. Yeah. Like, the Colts were big favorites in that game. There's so many of these division dogs that play up to the competition in the opening week.
Plus, you're not factoring in the new coordinator, right? So you got a new coaching staff. Does anybody really know what Shane Steichen's going to do offensively? You know what Gus Bradley's going to do defensively. So you're dealing with the unknown when you go into these games where you're not sure what do they have up their sleeve, what tricks, how are they going to do it. The coaching, you know, there's no declaration of strengths or weaknesses. Plus, as you said earlier in the show, every team thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl in week one. Everybody plays hard. You know, it's the opposite of the NBA where they kind of go through the motions of the regular season and play hard at the post. The NFL is, they're going to play hard in September. And frankly, the NFL, they don't never stop playing hard. Even, you know, like we saw Houston lose Bryce Young because they didn't stop playing hard, right?
Yeah, which is an organizational malpractice probably. Once you're in that spot, you better go ahead and secure that QB. But like you said, they play hard. There's no tank for Wembanyama going on in the NFL. At least we don't think Wembanyama.
That's Tuesday night. That's Tuesday night.
Is that,
huh?
Oh, that's right. The lottery,
that's Tuesday night. We get that lottery. I can't say the kid's name, but I would just assume that they could just turn the card in automatically at that point.
Probably. You can just call him Wemby. So his nickname is Wemby. And that's
now, hopefully he's there, and whoever wins, they'll give him a jersey so we can at least get past it, right?
Yeah, we'll just discuss pick number two for the NBA draft coming up later on this summer here. Well, let's get to the NFC East here because the Philadelphia Eagles, a team that benefited from a favorable schedule last year, they were also really good from a talent perspective, but the combination of the two is why they went 14-3 and steamrolled their way to the Super Bowl. But the Eagles, their win total right now is sitting at 10.5, and their schedule much harder this year. In fact, it's the hardest schedule according to last season's win percentages, if you want to read into that one. How do you factor in Philly this year now playing tougher quarterbacks than they did a year ago?
Well, I think the other thing you got to factor in with Philadelphia is that they are the hunted one. And this offense that they ran last year, which caught people off guard, they scored 207 points in the second quarter last year. They played from in front in every single game. It's going to be an offense that is studied relentlessly this offseason by teams. I mean, even if you're the New York Football Giants and you've played the Eagles twice, you want to study them. There's an element of what can we do differently to handle them? How do we handle that rugby formation? How do we handle what they want to do? Their offense isn't complicated, but their offense is really good at deciding on making a game easy for Hurts. And I think that element of we're going to study this Eagle team really hard in the offseason and we're going to figure out what we can do. Plus, remember now, the Eagles have two new coordinators, right? Mm-hmm. A completely new defense coordinator and a completely offense coordinator, even though Sirianni's going to run the offense. So, you know, I think that plays into it. But teams will have more time to get used to them and see what they do. How do we get them out of the rhythm? What did Dennis Allen do? I know Gardner Minshew was the quarterback. But what did he do in that game? You know, they struggled to beat the Giants with Davis Webb at quarterback in week 17, in week 18. So I think there's one of the things when you win, like I think one of the offseason projects that teams, the fans don't discuss is when a team's good at something, teams study them. I think the Eagles were a team that got studied a lot this offseason and still being studied. I think the Detroit Lions offense was another team that's going to get studied a lot this offseason. I think Ben Johnson, as a play caller, will get studied a lot this offseason. That's what you do in the offseason, because in the season, you don't have time. Monday, you got to do this. Tuesday, you got to, you know, you're moving along. The offseason in May, once the draft's over now, we got projects we can work on. We can really spend time. How do we want to defend this offense, or how do we want to attack this defense?
I want to highlight this stretch for the Eagles. After the bye week, it's week 11 to week 15. This is a difficult stretch as far as I'm concerned. You have the Super Bowl rematch at Arrowhead Stadium against the Chiefs. Then you come home to play the Buffalo Bills. And then you host the 49ers, who are looking for their revenge. You have Dallas on the road Sunday night football. And then in between an NFC East rivalry, Dallas week 14, Giants week 16, you have a trip all the way to the Pacific Northwest to face the Seattle Seahawks, where that place is as difficult a place to play in the league here. That stretch from week 11 to week 15 could be very, very difficult for this Eagles team.
Yeah, I mean, and then we don't know what the injury. I mean, one of the things I think the Eagles benefited last year was, you know, up until the end of the year when Lance Johnson got hurt and Hurts got hurt, they were fairly healthy for most of the year. Can they duplicate that? There was always a lot of concern in Philly that they had too many injuries, you know, going back. They changed team doctors. They did all that. You know, last year they were fortunate. They're a little bit older team, especially with Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham coming back. So, and then can they regenerate that hunger? I think that's the other thing you got to try to do. It's a challenge for a coach to regenerate that. But the one good thing the Eagles have going for them, they have a lot of good things going for them, is Hurts' ability to want to work. Hurts' ability to not be satisfied. That drives a team. You know, that his work ethic, his willingness to kind of keep going is what will help the Eagles if they get into any kind of contentment area.
The main challenger to the Eagles is the Dallas Cowboys, who are plus 175 to win the NFC East. First 6 weeks of the season for Dallas, four road games, then the bye week here. If the Cowboys trip up early on, I don't think that should be a surprise to anyone.
Well, I mean, look, the Cowboys shouldn't trip up. I mean, they got the Giants. They're a better team than the Giants. They can match up to the Jets. The Jets will have a hard time blocking them. I mean, if the Jets don't fix their offensive line, they're going to have a hard time blocking them. You know, they got the Cardinals, the Patriots. Look, every game's going to be hard. I mean, we make way too much out of, you know, former playoff team. Every game's hard, and then we're shocked when an upset comes in. You know, oh, my God, you know, I think the Cowboys have got to play three-dimensional. They've got to incorporate their offense has got to work together with their defense and with their kicking game. They've got to get that kicking situation straightened out. I mean, when Brett Maher went off the deep end last year, that affected them in that playoff game tremendously. I'm not sure they have it straightened out.
Yeah, I don't know if they have it straightened out either. We'll find out in training camp. The Giants, their schedule has been highly publicized with the amount of road games early on in the season. The Commanders, an interesting schedule there. Are you as bullish on the Commanders still after seeing this schedule come out? I know that you've written about the Commanders for VSiN.com.
I want to take them on the over because I think they're more talented. They didn't create turnovers last year at all. I think they had 19 as a team they created. And six of their losses, they didn't create a turnover. So if they can get the ball out, I think, to me, now the word on the street is Dalvin Cook is available. If you put Dalvin Cook on this team, I think they're a completely different team.
I like that point that you bring up about the turnovers, because despite not getting turnovers, they were still a really good defense. If they can get those turnovers, that can flip some of these games, and maybe they're better than people think. We'll wrap up the show on the other side, going through the rest of the NFC here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe hanging out with Michael Lombardi. Thank you to our two guests, by the way, that we had on the show. Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point, and then Matt Humans, host of VSiN Tonight. You can check him out Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 midnight Eastern time, and then 6 to 9 West Coast time, 9 to midnight Eastern time here on VSiN. Well, we're making our way through the NFL schedules. NFC West, Michael, the division champion, San Francisco 49ers. A lot of uncertainty. We don't know who's going to be playing quarterback early on in the season, whether it's Purdy, whether it's Darnold, might be Lance, might be Kyle Shanahan himself. Who knows? But how do you kind of break down this Niners schedule with all the uncertainty at the most important position?
Well, I mean, like, it's interesting because the line, the move, it went from 10.5 to, it went from 11.5 down to 10.5. And I mean, I didn't think it was, you know, they open up with a tough game in Pittsburgh. They got the Rams down there. So they start on the road for two games and they come home for two games against the Giants and the Cardinals. Both teams, they're better than, and they have three, then they get the four, they get the Cowboys on Sunday night. So I didn't see this as, oh my gosh, this is a hard schedule. Yeah, I know they got to go back to Cleveland. You know, they got Minnesota on the road. They got two road games. But I kind of get the sense to me that if they get the quarterback, I think this is more about the quarterback than the schedule. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think if they get the quarterback squared away, this defense is going to take over.
Yeah, I think this defense is really good. I mean, they pick up Javon Hargrave during free agency, pair him with Nick Bosa. They're going to be getting after quarterbacks all season long there. As long as they get competent quarterback play, they should be all right. Seattle is interesting because they feel like a team that's on the ascend here after making the playoffs a season ago with Geno Smith. Many, many young players on that roster that played well and started, played a lot of games a season ago here. Do you think Seattle can take that next step from good to great?
I think they can. I mean, I like what they did in the draft. I mean, they got a legitimate corner in the draft. They got another running back to go along with Walker, who I thought was spectacular last year. These two rookie tackles that started every game for them are going to improve. They've got a defensive lineman in Jones that they needed last year. I do think they're going to improve. I think this is, you know, I think Geno Smith is comfortable. He's not looking over his shoulder. They've got, you know, they've added some real talent at wide receiver, you know, with the inside slot kid from Ohio State. So that goes along with Lockett to go along with Metcalf. I think they're really going to be a good team. I think the question is, can they kind of play that run defense? And with getting Dermonte Jones from Denver is a huge get for them. And I think they not had a three technique for a long time.
What are we supposed to do with the Rams?
You know, that's a great question, Femi, because I think the Rams are in a little bit of enigma. They typically don't practice because of they want to save their team, but they have this really young team, so how do you not get them ready? You know, so how do you separate the veteran guy? Like, I know Aaron Donald, you don't want to get him injured. You can't get Higbee injured. You can't get Haverstein injured. They've got Note Bloom. He got injured last year. You can't get him injured. So you're going to have to balance that out. And then Matthew Stafford, how do you protect him? I mean, we won't see Matthew Stafford to opening day if he can get through practices. So I think that's a hard one. I mean, defensively, you can't name – when I take Aaron Donald's name away and Ernest Jones, there's nobody else you can name on that defense.
No, it's a bad defense. There's Matthew Stafford, there's Cooper Kupp, there's Aaron Donald, and then there's the rest of the guys that play for the Los Angeles Rams there.
They're going to be a young, bad team. I mean, I'm shocked, Sean – I'm shocked Sean McVay came back. This is not an undertaking that's going to be done with just a coaching. You know, can Stafford stay healthy? Look, they were trying to trade him. That's fact. They were trying to trade him. They wanted to get away from the $59 million. They couldn't. Nobody would bite. And now they're, you know, they traded Allen Robinson for a swap of sevens, and they're paying $10 million of his salary. That's how bad a shape they're in.
You have Kyler Murray scheduled for week four on his return?
I mean, look, we debated this in the break. I mean, if he's healthy, he's got to go out there and play. I mean, you know, you got to find out about him. It's a new coaching staff. It's a new general manager. He says he's going to be healthy. Why not? Look, one thing we've known about these ACLs, these guys come back. Now, it's not – I do say this. It's not about, you know, are you healthy? It's how you react to things. and how you handle the pocket, because you kind of feel like that leg is still hurt, right? So, but I think they look, I don't think Arizona is a very good team at all. And but he's their one player, gives them a chance to try to win. I'm not sure their coach, you know, it's the more you read about Jonathan Gannon and some of the things he said this offseason, I don't have a whole lot of faith in this at all.
Gannon, it's not off to a great start. But then again, I mean, I think back to Nick Sirianni's introductory press conference. He was barely able to make it through that one, and the Philadelphia Eagles seemed fine with him. So maybe Gannon.
Yeah, but that's a different. I mean, Philly's organization helps carry him. I'm not sure there's any organization in Arizona to carry anybody.
That's a good point, because that organization seems like a disaster. Like every 2-3 weeks, we're hearing another story about the Cardinals. Let's get over to the NFC North. The favorites, Detroit Lions, start the year opening night at Kansas City. There's a lot of buzz about this team, man. People really expect the Lions to live up to expectations, win the division, and get to the playoffs.
Well, I mean, look, the other thing I think the Lions have going for them, too, is that Ford Field should be a hard place to play. You know, back in the day when the Silverdome was going, it was hard to play there. You know, it was loud, and when they had Barry and Scott Mitchell and Herman Moore, and they were pretty good, you know, and so that they get Ford Field coming, because Lion fans, look, let's face it, Michigan is a football state and Detroit's a football town. And so that's got to help them a little bit. And if they can get some confidence, you know, if they go out there and play well against Kansas City and beat Kansas City, that momentum's going to carry over. They've got to find ways. They had Philly in the opening game last year. They had a chance to beat them. They gave up 40-some points. Of course, they scored 42. But, you know, I think that this is a good team, and they should gain from a home field advantage.
How about my man, Justin Fields, in primetime 4 times for everybody to see his great talents in the Chicago Bears team that is on
MVP. MVP, I know you got a ticket. I know you're holding the ticket over there.
I missed out, man. I told you. I didn't get – everybody's been talking MVP, that his odds are now like 20-1. Like, I'm not going to bet that.
Why, you don't like 20-1 odds? I mean, that's pretty good, fam. I mean, everybody's happy about the Derby winner.
Yeah, shout out to Mage.
Excuse me. Everybody's happy about the Derby winner, and that was 15-1.
Yeah.
You don't like 20-1?
20-1 on a season-long bet. For MVP on a team that has a win total of 7.5, nah, I don't like that.
Well, sprinkle some of that. Well, you're going to bet the Sixers on Sunday with you and Doc together, Air. You'll get those winnings.
Maybe take the points. They don't have to win to cover 7. Let's move on to the
Speaking of covering, before we go today, right, tonight, I just want to alert everybody. Scott Foster is going to do the Miami game tonight, right?
He is.
The Heat are 0-10 when the last 10 games Scott Foster has refereed. They're 1-9 against the spread. Bet cautiously is all I'll say. Bet cautiously.
Don't overextend on Miami.
Or
maybe don't bet him at all.
Well, maybe just watch, because Scott's there. He's in the house, and he's there for a reason. Yeah. I'm not saying what it is.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't.
Do you think he'll do the Sunday game in Philly? You think he'll do the Sunday game
oh
in Boston?
Let's hope not. Let's hope not. Although that one, he'll probably ref it fairly, since it's a game 7. I don't think the league really cares whichever team advances out of that one. Both big markets, both of them big name players. I think they're fine either way there. But maybe the extender gives us a game 7 in Madison Square Garden. Maybe we'll get that later on Monday. The Minnesota Vikings are an interesting team just because of last year and all the luck that they had there. And that's not to poo-poo what they did, but I mean, let's be honest about it. They were fortunate in a lot of those games there. Do you think that this team can get back to the playoffs in 2023?
I don't. I mean, I think they're making a move on Dalvin Cook here. It sounds like it's getting close. They've got so many cap concerns, and, you know, they start the season. You know, when you got to play some of the teams they have to play being a first-place winner, and I know they start off with Tampa, but, you know, that last year I thought people went into Minnesota and actually played well, and that's usually a hard place to play. I mean, New England had a chance to beat them. Even Chicago had a chance to beat them there. The Giants in the first game had a chance to beat them. They beat them in a playoff game at home. Look, I think Minnesota kind of got ahead of themselves a little bit by going to the playoffs last year. I think this is going to take a little bit more time.
I like Green Bay 4-1 to win the division, and I think their schedule lays out to where they have a lot of coin flip games early, and that ball goes their way. It wouldn't surprise me if the Packers got off to like a 6-2 start with Jordan Love at quarterback. They could easily be 2-6, but I think that they also have a high upside based on the schedule as well. Big Daddy, you got to tell Big Daddy to get ready for the postseason.
I know. I think you represent LaFleur in your firm. I think he's on your payroll, too. I think you got him going.
Jordan Love I do have on the payroll. So we're excited about Jordan Love. We got Fields Love week number one. Can't wait to see that one on September 10th. That does it for us here on the Lombardi Line. For Michael Lombardi, I'm Femi Bebefe. For our producer, Elliot Bowman, and the entire crew behind the glass, we wish you all the best of luck. VSiN Best Bets coming up next.